my gosh. For me, this is nostalgia. I love it so much. The 70s were so underrated musically. And it totally informed my songwriting today. Chicago, Tom Petty. Tom Petty was one of the first concerts I ever went to in my life. Oh, my gosh. Talented. Thank you very much. So a priest, a monk, and a rabbit walk into a bar. I told Pam this joke, and she said, I'm going to steal that joke. So I hope she hasn't told you this joke already. I don't know. Okay. A priest, a monk, and a rabbit walk into a bar, and the bartender sees them, and he says, so what do you do, and what will you have? And the priest says, I'm a priest, and I'll have a glass of that nice red wine. And he says, you got it. So the monk says, I'm a monk, and I'll just have a tonic water, please. Says, okay, you got it. And the rabbit says, well, I'm a rabbit, and I think I'm a typo. See, Pam forgot because she laughed again. She didn't remember the punchline. That's so good. Okay, thanks. All right. So what about love? What about it? What about love? I mean, love is all there is. Love makes the world go round. Talk about, you know, all these songs about love that we hear. It's obviously a very important part of our lives, right? There's symbolism all around us, you know, in symbols of the red rose, and the symbol of the rose is also seen in religious iconography, like Mother Mary and Jesus, the red rose, and the lotus in Hinduism, and the fact that you have the fragrance, but you also have the thorns, and this is like love. It's so sweet and everything, but sometimes it hurts, right? This is all about love. And there are many different names for love in many different languages, yet love has no language itself. You just feel it. You express it. But in the Greek, it's called agape, and it's like a selfless love. In Sanskrit, there's prema, there's divine love, and there's bhakti, which is devotional love. Love is devotion. And my song, Net of Love, was actually inspired by the words of Mirabai. Mirabai was ancient Indian poetess who her whole village thought she was crazy, because even from a little girl, she was dancing and singing and telling everyone she was married to Krishna, and she couldn't possibly get married, and she couldn't possibly do anything else because she was spending all of her time loving Krishna, and they thought she was nuts. But she wrote these beautiful poems, and sure enough, she eventually became a saint because everybody recognized that she felt that divine presence and that it truly was a miracle. Then in Buddhism, there's a term called metta, which is loving kindness. So Buddhism doesn't talk a lot about love, but they do talk a lot about metta, loving kindness, which is love for all beings. May all beings be pure and happy and free from harm and that kind of thing. Is that it's all a selfless love. It's not directed at one individual. It's directed at all. And then they have something similar in Kabbalah. There's a Hebrew word called chesed, which also means like a loving kindness. It's steadfast, and it also means compassion, chesed. And in the various languages, we hear different names of God, like amor and amore. Amor comes from Spanish and Latin. And in German, it's interesting because love is lieben. I took German in high school, so let me brag a little bit. I know the word love in German, lieben. But the word for life is leben. So it's almost like life is love in German. That's a big, there's a etymology there about where the origin of the word came from. So love is life. And there's also, of course, we know a lot of names for God. And maybe that's because God and love are not two separate things. It says in the Bible that God is love. God is love. Not God has love. Not God gives love. Not God expects love. God is love. And that's also what we are. It's not just something we feel. It's something we are. It's a part of who we are. It's the fabric of our very existence. And the quote is from the Bible is John 4:8, and it says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And in Vedanta, it says that beneath all differences, whether it's name or form, time or space, there is one reality, the same consciousness looking through different eyes. That's the same thing Science of Mind says, right? There is one reality. There is one existence. And it's all the same with different names, different colors, different forms, different shapes, and living at different times in different cultures. But it's all one. I had this epiphany the other day. My book, It's All the Same I, is like an introduction to Vedanta. And it's all the same I, meaning I. Like when I speak, I am Lisa, blah, blah, blah. I am a teacher, I am a speaker, I am a author, whatever. That's my identity. But when you speak I, like I am Pam, I am Pamela, I am Therese, I am John, that's all the same I. But then I thought, wait a second, this came to me, the saying, it's all the same I, came to me auditorily. I hear stuff sometimes, right? It's also all the same I, because the third eye is where we see beyond the physical. And that eye that we have is all the same. Our intuition, our instincts, and our love. That love is love is love is love is love, right? We could try to categorize it like, oh, we love our pet one way, and we love our parents one way, and we love our spouse another way. But it's all love. It's all love. It's this blanket that envelops us. So love is not something that is between us, because if it's all just one existence, there's nothing between us. It looks like there's space between us, but that's only a concept, just like time is a concept. Like when I'm in Australia, my physical body may be there, but where can I be? I can be anywhere. I can be right here with you guys. And I think that's where I'm going to be too. A lot of the time, I'm going to be right here. You know, I'm going to be, my heart is big enough to hold a lot of love, and the same love is not going away. Just like God is that constant that never changes in this changing universe where everything is transient, God stays, love stays, love remains. It's really important to know that and to recognize that we are all mirrors of each other. And when we love someone, we're seeing the divine in them. That's reflecting the divinity within ourselves. We're recognizing that within ourselves. And we tend to limit love. We tend to want to put a fence around it with all these definitions, you know, like, well, I love this person, but I don't love that person. Well, I love someone who looks like me, or I love someone who agrees with me, you know, or you know, I love my family, but those guys are strangers. No, But why are we limiting love? Because love has no limits. It's like in the Buddha saying in Metta, may all beings be happy. May all beings, and that includes us in those all beings. That's one and every, each of us all together at the same time. Divine love expands that circle, expands that fence. We can't put a fence around love any more than we could put a fence around the sky. That would just be silly, right? We can't do it. So no matter where people are in your life, when you love them, you always love them. That love always remains. Whether they move to Australia or whether they move to heaven, the heaven realm, right? That love does not die. It can't. It absolutely can't. So it's just like the sun doesn't choose where to shine. The sun is up there shining. It doesn't miss anything, right? The sun shines because that's what it does. And the flower doesn't choose who gets to smell it or where it's going to grow. The flower just grows. It doesn't try. It doesn't attempt. It doesn't say, oh, here comes that person. I'm going to close up right now. You know, love is open. Love is available. Love is all there. So the nature of love is it's expansive. It radiates. It reaches out. That's the nature of love. It's to be shared freely. And in the Bible, again, there is a definition of love. And I think we've all heard this. We say it at weddings all the time. This is the quote people like to hear. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. I think that's my favorite part. It keeps no, we got to do that. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. It's so beautiful. It's so perfect. You know, if that was like the only thing that was in the Bible, we could say, okay, good. Let's just live like this. You know, kind of sums it all up. Jesus's teachings right then and there. So why are we always trying to define love, to understand it? And I think it's because we understand that love is not, it's not just an emotion. It's our origin. It's our purpose. And it's also our destination. There's a story that Ramakrishna used to tell all the time called the salt doll. And it's about this little doll who was all made of salt, just cute little doll made of salt. And she always heard stories about the ocean. And she was so intrigued. And she kept saying, one day I'm going to go to the ocean. I'm going to measure it. I'm going to swim in it. I'm going to see how deep it is. I'm going to just love that ocean. And everyone told her, oh, you're just a little salt doll. How are you going to get to the ocean? Just, you know your place. Just stay home and be your little salt doll. But no, she figured it out. She finally traveled long and hard, walked a long way, and found the ocean. And she looked at it in awe. And she finally put her little toe in. And it melted. And she said, what? What is this experience? Wow. And she put her foot in. And with each step, she understood more and had more of an epiphany until she finally submerged and she became the ocean. She disappeared completely. And she thought, now I know what the ocean is. And she became the ocean. This is a deep love when you really know who you are and you give into it and you just become it. This is who we are now, but we just don't realize it. We need to wake up to that fact and just be the ocean now. We spend our lives trying to define our lives and measure it and contain it and have love. We start thinking, oh, does he or she love me? Does he love me? How much does he love me? Does he mean it when he says he loves me? I mean, we go through all this process in our minds, right? Or our kids, are they still going to love me when they grow up? Or what's going to happen? We have all this stuff. But what we need to understand is that love is not something we possess. Love isn't a possession. It's something we're made of. Love is the ocean that we are standing in right now. What is this stuff between us? It's not space. It's love. It's God. It's all of us. There's no lines between us. There's only really love. If we could say, yes, it's love, that erases all the lines between us. We don't need to search for love. We just need to recognize it as our own true nature. There's a cute story in the Bhagavata Purana where Krishna, when he was a child, they used to call him the butter thief. And you think, yo, Krishna is like the Hindu version of Jesus, right? And so we know Jesus is a little baby. This is like Krishna is a little baby. And he was very mischievous. And he never did anything bad. He never stole a lot of stuff, but he stole butter. He loved butter. That was the big thing. It's like Krishna's kind of, hide the butter. Here he comes. So it was really kind of this sweet thing that everybody loved Krishna and they knew he was going to do it. But, you know, some people might say, well, wait, he's supposed to be God incarnate and yet he steals. The only thing he stole was butter. And you know what? This is an analogy. This is a lesson for us. Because what is butter? Butter is made when you churn milk. You churn it and churn it and churn it and churn it. And then it turns into butter and it's sweet and delicious and pure. Our spiritual practice is the practice that churns our hearts to fill them with love, to fill them with purity. And the only thing that Krishna steals is our love. When we feel this call to love, that's God calling us. When we feel love for another person, that's God showing us who we are. That's God showing us to reach out to another divine being right then. So answer the call. Go and steal the butter, you know? Help them churn with the spiritual practice. It's so beautiful. Krishna doesn't want our possessions. He only steals one thing, and that's our hearts. So let God steal your hearts. Let it, it's God's anyway. It's all love. God is love. All right, I'll end with a prayer. Tell me what I need to know. Show me where I need to go. Give me the seeds I need to sow. And thank you for this chance to grow. Amen. Om Tat Sat. And so it is.